following recording is taken from a worship service at First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. First Baptist exists to glorify God by declaring the life-changing message of Jesus and by discipling all people so that everyone can delight in God's supremacy over all things. It is our desire to adequately proclaim God's word so that believers will grow in Christ and unbelievers will be convicted for their need for Christ. We pray that you will be challenged and encouraged as you listen to this recording.
Good morning. Y'all doing okay? I'm doing good too. Thanks for asking. Words are important, right? One little word can make a big difference in your sentence, how you translate something. Words are important. For us to be able to truly understand God's word, we must understand each of its words. But see, there's a problem in that the copy of God's word that you have before you is written in another language. So what we have to do is we have to go back and we have to translate that. Now, what did that word mean in that original context? And what does that word mean today? So God's word does not change. Just the words that we use today to describe God's words change. For instance, just kind of illustrate this point. If you went to a party, say in the 50s, and you said, oh, I went to this really happy, fun party, and you used the word gay to describe that, everybody would just think, that meant happy. You jump forward 60 years, you use that same kind of context, and people go, oh. So the words we use, they change. God's word doesn't change, but how we interpret what that means in today's words changes, right? So when we read God's word, it's important we understand truly what God's trying to say to us. So today's sermon is a little bit different. We're going to spend the next 40 minutes looking at one word. Woohoo! All right. It's an important word, I'll tell you that. If you open your Bibles to Acts 2, we're going to look at the word fellowship. In Acts chapter 2, we see kind of a snapshot of the early church. We're going to look at this word. Acts 2. 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. All came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. All who were believed were had all things in common, and they were all selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. The Lord added to their number day by day those that were being saved. So we see this picture. We say, all right, things were going good. All was on their souls. They had unity. God was adding to their number daily. What four things were they really doing there? Verse 42, you see, okay, the apostles' teaching, we understand that. We see the breaking of bread, that's the communion, Lord's Supper. We see that, we understand that, prayers. But when it comes to that word fellowship, they were devoted to ice cream socials after church? No. So, for us to truly understand what this word fellowship is, we need to know what it really meant in the Greek New Testament. And we need what we're going to do. So that the word was koinonia. It literally meant a partnership or sharing, having things in common, participation, society, friendship. So what we're going to do today, this word koinonia is listed, used some 19 different times in the New Testament. Okay, we're not going to look at all 19, just 17 of them. Okay. So I really hope you've got your seatbelts on. We're going to be moving, okay? And then we'll come back to Acts 2 and apply what we learned from all those times that this word is used. We'll apply it to our situation today. So fellowship, koinonia. Okay. So you see those times there listed on the screen? Let's go 1 John. We see it mentioned four times in the first chapter of 1 John. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from Him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and there's no darkness in Him. If we say we have fellowship with Him while we walk in the darkness, we lie. We do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Okay. So it's four times here where you say that word, fellowship, koinonia. Fellowship does not mean ice cream socials. You can see there in 1 John, we're talking about fellowship with God. You eating ice cream with God? No? Okay, me neither. Just want to make sure I wasn't missing out. So fellowship, it means that John wanted his readers to be able to be partners in possessing this eternal life. We see that the purpose of this whole book is so that he can ensure that this fellowship is people have it. He wanted to proclaim not just for people's sins, but this forgiveness of sins includes us in something much more rich. It includes us, it's a gospel message that binds us together. He says, so that you too may have fellowship with us. It's even richer than just fellowship between us, it's fellowship with His Son. So this fellowship, this idea of being in a relationship with God is a personal. It's almost like you're intimate, this relationship with God, and it's only made possible through Jesus. So because I have a relationship with Jesus, and because you have a relationship with Jesus, we have a relationship together. Okay? A plus B. A equals B, okay, over here. You're over here, you're B equals C. So A and C kind of work together, okay? For you math people. For you that not math people, just forget what I said. Because we are both in Christ, we are connected. I am a son of Christ. You're a son of God. We are brothers and sisters, okay? So just take that, put that in the back of your mind, and think about Acts 2. They devoted themselves. By the way, devoted, it's continual. It's an ongoing thing. The word there is continuous. They kept continuing to devote, to be steadfast in this fellowship. It's kind of an action word there. It's action. So we see the author gives two different reasons in 1 John, two different reasons for purpose of writing this book. One is that they would have joy. The other is that he wants his readers to have fellowship with him and thus with Christ. So fellowship, we see here, is such an important element. It's the reason we have 1 John. Okay? So fellowship is so important. That's why we have one of the books of the Bible. He wants them to have fellowship with him and thus with God. So we have that. And when we're in this fellowship with God, the idea is here, he wished them that all the peace and the happiness which resulted that God had appeared in human form and died on the cross, there's a peace. George Flynn read about that a while ago. You read about that. And that peace is something that we share. And he wants us to be a part of that. So when Jesus appeared on earth, He was introducing the Father to his disciples. His disciples to the Father. He was kind of initiating them into this fellowship. Then once the disciples enter that relationship, they begin introducing other people into that fellowship. Like, hey, I'd like to introduce you to somebody. I'd like to, you know, just let you know about this fellowship that I have. So then they are connected. Then it flows through time. And the people that you witness to at work or run across and you're able to tell about the goodness and greatness of God, all of a sudden you're connected with them because Jesus came to earth, started this process of telling others about this fellowship, this relationship. So, I don't want you to miss this. When we're in relationship with each other, we're also in relationship with God. Okay? We got that? Okay. In 1 John there, he uses the word our fellowship. The verbiage there in the original language indicates that it's a distinguishing mark of Christians rather than something just merely enjoyed by them. It's not simply something that we have that we just enjoy. Oh, look at this, how nice this relationship is. It's something that sets us apart. It's not that we serve a God that's so far off that we don't have this relationship, this fellowship with. We are in this koinonia relationship with Him. So it's something that's kind of personal. We serve a personal God. We see that from this fellowship. Okay? So, result from there is the book of the Bible and joy. Okay. So we have this relationship with God. If you could turn to 1 Corinthians 1. It's on the screen for you. God is faithful, by whom you are called into fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have fellowship with God. Here we see we have fellowship with His Son. Immediately upon our union to Christ, we have fellowship with Him. And this fellowship, this koinonia, it flows from us being a part of Him. The neat thing about this passage here is that we see that we will be kept in that relationship by a faithful God, because God is faithful to His Son. We all be faithful and united when we're united with Him. So that relationship that God has with His Son. We saw Him give Him the strength He needed to persevere through some very hard times. God was faithful to Jesus. Nobody would argue that point. We have that same relationship because of what Christ did. So God then is faithful still. God doesn't say, oh, I'm going to be faithful to the Garrettson have been good this week. I'm going to be faithful to them. Oh, Rob, yeah, I'm having pity on you. I'll be faithful to you. Oh, Jared, no. No. The God we serve is faithful. So, and that become that. It's part of that relationship. God's faithful. But I think it's important to point out here that one cannot necessarily enjoy this fellowship with Christ while being at odds with other members in the body. Matthew 5 tells us about this, about how important it is to restore those relationships that are severed in the body. Because if we truly have a relationship with the other, if we truly have a relationship with others, if that relationship is severed, what's that say? It's saying that something's not right. Either this is not right or that's not right. Something's not jiving. So being together in unity with other members is very important. We get that from Matthew 5. Okay? So this and as we work through this, as we think about Matthew 5, when it tells us about leaving the altar and going to reconcile with brothers, you know, it's important to remember that these fellowships, these relationships, are not possible on our own. I I've heard some of you say you have some very difficult people in your life. Me, I've just got the one. His name's Satan. He uses other people. Okay. So when I'm trying to reconcile, trying to make right a relationship on this level, not this level, it's hard for me. I can't do it. I need the grace of God flowing through me. I need these things that God empowers me to do through being connected to the vine, by this fellowship that I have with Him flows out in my fellowship with others. So it's not like me, my natural state, to be love and gracious and kind. That comes from my relationship with God. That relationship flows out, okay? So fellowship in Christ should produce unity among believers. Okay? So he's talking about unity here. Fellowship brings unity. We see this again. Galatians 2:9. There was a great, I'll read it for you. When James and Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, it's Paul, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. Now, if you remember back in Acts 15, there was a great big problem came up in the church. Paul's like, we should go to the Gentiles. Some of the Jews were saying, no, God chose the Jews. We shouldn't go out to them. Potential for a major church split here. We see the kind of results. They had a meeting. They had a prayer meeting. They talked through some things. They gave the right hand of fellowship. Fellowship means unity. We see that from Galatians 2. So, we got that. Okay, stick that. Okay, take a second. Think about that. Think about to Acts 2. And they, talking about the 3,000 people that had just been saved through the sermon at Pentecost, devoted themselves continually, steadfast, ongoing. Okay, these ideas that are starting to pop in your head. We see unity. We see a connection with Christ. We see how we're connected to one another. All that kind of goes back into that one word so far of fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship. They devoted themselves to unity. They devoted themselves to the relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit. They devoted themselves to fellowship. Even fellowship, it's one of those words what I think, and I'm no scholar by any means, I think we're in danger of losing that word too. I say the word fellowship, immediately you're thinking ice cream. Aren't you? No? Okay, well good. Everybody else is. Y'all are awesome. You know, it could be, you know, the Bible, the ESV version that we have, they translated 2001. You know, who knows, another 10, 15 years, it may replace the word fellowship to mean community. Because that has a more resonance to it. Because fellowship, some people just don't understand what that means anymore. Our language changes. That's why it's important to understand what the Word of God says. Okay. So we see this idea of unity. Okay, 1 Corinthians 10. We see another passage where the word fellowship is used. Koinonia. 14 through 17. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not participation? There it is, participation. In the body and blood of Christ, the bread we break, is it not participation? There it is again. In the body of Christ, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Okay, so in this passage, we see it used, the same Greek word, So far we've seen it translated fellowship. Now we're starting to see it translated participation. The Christian's fellowship here is the fellowship of the cleansing blood and the united body of Christ. Okay? So we have fellowship in that blood that unites us together. So the main idea of this section here is that by when we come together and we have the Lord's Supper and we partake of the cup and we partake of the bread, then not only are we united with Him, we're united with each other. I think this is a fact that we miss sometimes. Too often we make it, I don't want to say it that way, too often we neglect the idea of we're all in this together. Yes, we focus on God and what He has done, and that is wonderful. But I think this passage shows us there's also something else that we should focus on when we take the Lord's Supper. It's each other. Because we are partaking, and you are partaking, and you are partaking. Since we're all in this together, we're all in this together. Does that make sense? It's like the old analogy, fellowship means that we are all fellows on the same ship. Okay? When the tide's up, everybody on the ship is doing good. The ship's up, everybody's together. When the tide's out, everybody on the ship, down. Okay? Fellowship is we are all fellows on the ship. That's a freebie. Okay. So, when we partake of the cup, we partake of the bread, is it not participation in the body of Christ? And Paul kind of merged this idea of the one loaf into one body. The loaf is broken into pieces, for the participation of all is still one. Even though it's consumed by many, it's just one part. Sharing together in that one loaf is an expression of unity in the Christ body. So when we celebrate the Lord's Supper next time, let's also take time to remember we are fellows on the ship. We are in this together. Because I am partaking and participating, and you are participating, we are connected. We have this fellowship. We should share together. We are equals as brothers and sisters before that table. So a result there, we kind of see that we are with Christ. Okay, so we've seen so far we have a relationship with God. We've seen we have a relationship with Jesus. We've seen the idea of unity being done through this idea of koinonia fellowship. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 13:14. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you all. Greet another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. Okay, here we go. This is good. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you all. Okay. Three things there. Paul brings this letter to a close, gives this kind of Trinity blessing thing. Okay, we got grace from Christ. Okay, we got that? That's a good thing, right? We talk a lot about grace. We have love of God. We sing about love all the time, right? What's the third one? Fellowship, the Holy Spirit. Okay. That should rock your world. Obviously, it's not. I'm going to give you a second to kind of think through that. Just think through that for a second. What Paul does here, he puts fellowship with the Holy Spirit on the same level as God's love and Jesus and grace. Okay? So we have fellowship, love, and grace, same level. Because you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus, and with God, we have fellowship with one another. So, fellowship with one another, because we're fellowship with all the others, is on the same plane as love and grace. That's not a far stretch, people. Okay, some of you still don't get it. We'll go through this again. What Paul does, he says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. He equates those. So when he equates those, what we've previously learned, we talk about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship with Jesus, the fellowship with God. That means we have fellowship with one another. So when he talks about these three things being equal and this blessing that he's giving us, the thing that flows from fellowship with the Holy Spirit is fellowship with one another. So fellowship with one another then also becomes equal to the love of God and the grace of others, and the grace of Lord Jesus Christ. That's good news, people. I might have to stand y'all up and do some jump jacks. So, what does that mean? Put that idea back in Acts 2. They devoted themselves to fellowship. He's saying the same as the love of God, the grace of Jesus, it's fellowship with the Spirit, which means fellowship with each other. That's got some big implications. But it's not simply fellowship. So far we looked at God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But now I want us to kind of start looking at some things that has to do with kind of our more of our relationship with each other. In Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4, we have some kind of a rhetorical question here. He says, so if there's any encouragement in Christ, by the way, there is, any comfort from love, in your participation in the Spirit, there it is, koinonia, fellowship, community, participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy. So if you have any of those, he's saying, complete my joy by being in the same mind, and having the same love, being full of accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Participation, partnership, common, eternal life, provided by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So we're starting to kind of transition here. Yes, we have a fellowship with the Trinity. So what does that mean for our interaction with each other? The church is not just a building or an organization. It's a family of persons who share a common life. Remember, fellowship means fellows on a ship? Up, down, okay. So although the gift of God, this fellowship, what we see here is that he's telling them they need to nurture it. You need to kind of work out a little bit. So he urged the Philippians to do this. He says, since you have this relationship, you need to share it. And you need to have love and humility and service to one another. So this shared union with Christ and this love for one another and this mutual participation in the Spirit should encourage all of us to draw closer in a supportive fellowship. Unfortunately, we got to keep moving. Okay. So we start to see this kind of change, how we affect one another in our walk, our daily struggles, our support. Andrew Murray wrote this. He said, our love to God is measured by our everyday fellowship with others and the love it displays. We see this in the New Testament. How much you love God is measured, is showed by how you're loving others. by that fellowship that you have with your brothers and sisters in Christ, by that sense of community that we have, that's our measurement of our love for God. I can say I love God all day, every day, 24/7. I can put it on my Twitter, Facebook, whatever. But if I don't get up, go do something about it, it's empty words. Jerry Berry taught clanging cymbal. It has to have action. Go back to that word devoted. It's an action word. Continual, steadfast, participation in. Okay? So, what does that mean for us? How does that work in our situation? I'm glad you asked that question. Romans 15. Romans 15, 25 through 27. At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. From Macedonia and Achaia, I have pleased to make some contribution. There it is, koinonia, fellowship. They were pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem, for they were pleased to do it. Indeed, they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to have be of service in them in material blessings as well. So the context here indicates that when we translate the Greek to the English, that the context kind of suggests that it should be a sharing of a financial gift in order to support the poor in Jerusalem. So think about that back in Acts. A continually devoted, ongoing fellowship. There are times when you can translate that word fellowship as contributions. Uh-oh. That word koinonia is starting to grow. That meaning is starting to grow. We ain't having ice cream anymore. We're living life. We are sharing. We are helping one another out. Okay, just a couple things I want you to notice here. One, they were pleased. They were pleased. They were glad for fellowship. They saw it as an obligation. It says they indeed they owed it to him, but yet they were pleased. What does that mean for you and your fellowship with the believers? Are you pleased when you're in fellowship with others? People, it's your obligation. You should be pleased. We see from 1 John that fellowship also brings joy. So, pleasing, joy. There's a lot here. We're moving. I'm sorry. The Christian life is always spiritual in nature. God blesses us with material things so that we can aid others, serve others by what God has blessed us with. We should be pleased to do it. We owe it to Him. It promotes unity because we're in that relationship with God. It's on the same level as love and grace. Pleased. 2 Corinthians 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in the severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave, okay, poor people were giving, okay? Break it down. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, on their own accord, they begged us earnestly for taking part. Taking part. Same word as fellowship, same word as koinonia. They begged us to take part. Friends, are you begging to be in a relationship with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you begging God? God, please let me minister to these people. We should be. Fellowship through the Holy Spirit. Love, grace, same stuff here, okay? They begged us for taking part. Knowing that, they viewed it as giving as a privilege. Seen as a sign of grace. 2 Corinthians 9, same type of idea. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from the confession of the gospel of Christ and generosity of your contribution, there it is, for them and all those. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. Okay. This does not merely mean that they just simply professed a religion, but there was a real submission to the gospel which they professed. We see this playing out because of their generosity, of their fellowship, of their contribution, of their koinonia, of their community. This was a real. It was sincere. It manifests in their giving liberally to support those in need. And look at that. What's a result of community? They glorify God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when we truly fellowship and share in a sense of community, other people glorify God. Do we have something in our mission statement about glorifying God, Pastor Byrne? Absolutely. You remember what that is? We exist to glorify God. Good job. Get a little gold star. Okay. So, we exist to glorify God. This is one way that we glorify God, by relationships with one another. Our fellowship, our sense of community should cause others to glorify God. Does it? Philippians 1:5, we see this again, this word, fellowship. I thank my God in all remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. We see it there in the word partnership. Just to make sure you get it, partnership means partners. Kind of like a business kind of overtone there. We are in this thing as partners. It's not simply just a community. It's almost kind of like partners, you think almost legally binding type business type of situation. So we are in this together. They felt a common interest in everything that pertained to. They showed this in every single way that they could as they partnership in the gospel. We have fellowship, the Son, the Father. And this kind of flows out to our partnership in the gospel. And we see this as we talk about being a family, a community. Even think about the people that we just sent out to go overseas, Derek and Jody. We are in a partnership with them. You know, I was texting Derek Friday night. By the way, you can pray for them. They start language school tomorrow, or actually in about 12 hours. And pray for him as he learns to drive on the wrong side of the road. He says it's a little bit weird. But anyway, as we send them out, we are partners with them. Just because Derek and Jody and Bella aren't right there, we are still connected. We still have that sense of fellowship, the koinonia with them, even though they're 14 hours ahead of us. By the way, it's kind of weird to think that, okay, I'm texting 14 hours in the future. It's kind of hard to get your mind around that sometimes. Anyway, that's another point. partnership in the gospel. The Philippians, the gift that they gave Paul, we see that in chapter 4, and they showed their eagerness to participate with Paul and his causes. So as a result of that, Paul was thanking God as they were giving financially. You would see this idea of fellowship as a concern for others' well-being. And also, Philippians is kind of like a big thank you letter. Okay? He was thanking people for this relationship that they had. So that's a second book that we see It kind of deals really, we probably wouldn't have it if it wasn't for that relationship. Okay? So, Philemon 1:6. I thank my God always when I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and the faith that you have toward the Lord Jesus Christ and all the saints. I pray that the sharing of your faith, there it is, koinonia, sharing. Sharing your faith. It refers to a mutual sharing of all life. Sometimes we take this verse and we imply it where it only means evangelism. I can share my faith and encourage others that are already in that right relationship with God. So there's not only evangelism, but there's also the encouragement that comes from that. There's also the lifting up, the supporting. So the phrase there, sharing your faith, literally means making the faith common to others. So sharing faith. Okay. We're almost done, I promise. Let's look at one more. Hebrews 13. Jared Flynn, you're going to like this one. Hebrews 13, 15 to 16. Through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. As the fruit of our lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share, there it is, what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The sacrifice of praise is coming from the lips of God's people. Please them only when they're accompanied by loving and actions. He says such sacrifices. Some people skip that sentence right before that and go, sacrifice of praise to God from our lips. But no, the sacrifices that are pleasing to God are the sacrifice of praise. They are do not neglect the good and to share what you have. So it's all three of those are seen as a sacrifice to God. You get that? Your relationships, your fellowship, your koinonia, your community is an act of worship, people. And God is pleased by that. Are you pleasing God this week, last week, 2 months ago? Are you sending up worship when you invite people to your homes? Older ladies, are you pleasing God when you invite some younger women into your home to teach them? Men, when you take younger men under your wing, teach them how to be godly fathers and husbands, you are worshiping God through that. When we are sharing life together, when we are having the sense of community, we are worshiping God. Other people see that and they're glorified. They glorify God because of that. This praise and practice, they work together. They go hand in hand. He's pleased when he sees this. Put all that back in Acts 2. 3,000 new converts devoted themselves to fellowship. Now, you know why it's such a big deal. I don't want to sound like I'm hammering you. We do some things very well here, okay? We do have a sense of community. Matter of fact, I was teaching on this subject about 9 months ago in the co-ed class. I was principal kind of teaching on how we should love one another and support one another. And someone came up to me and said, Jared, that's why I joined this church, because y'all do this so well. So I don't want us to be negative. We are doing some things good. Let's, it's interview time. I must tell her if she would come up here. Many of you know our sister in Christ, Tedra. Tedra, how have you seen community in your life?
Almost 2 years ago, Albert and I was faced with a situation that impacted every part of our lives. It changed our finances, we lost our home, and our kids were greatly affected. So many people helped our family through some very hard days, but I will never forget the day we received the call from Carolyn. And she told us that her and John wanted the kids and I to move in their home. I would like you to understand I knew Carolyn as someone who taught my children in Sunday school and nursery. We had talked a couple of times since our family joined the church in 2006, but we really did not know each other. Also, I had never met Mr. John. Carolyn was impacted by a message Byron did on doing life together, and Mr. John had worked with Albert when he did a siding job on their house. This moved them to open their home to our family, and over the past 2 years, we have become a family. Many people have helped us financially that our family has never done without things we need. Because of the help of our church family, we have been able to continue homeschooling our children. The fellowship has been greatly appreciated, especially the letters and prayers sent to Albert. We have been so encouraged by so many in our church. Last Sunday, my heart was heavy over our oldest daughter's birthday coming up, and how it's another year of her not walking with God. It was so encouraging when ladies from my Sunday school class agreed to pray and fast for her on her birthday. Most of these ladies have never even met my oldest daughter. Once again, God showed me the blessings of being part of a community of believers.
People in her small group fasted for someone they never met. That's the power of community, people. Okay, and if you'll back up a slide, if you take all those benefits, all those results that we see throughout the New Testament, results of community, what flows out of community, you see lots of implications. Tedra, what results have you seen from community?
One thing is that I have been able to be there for our children and help them through this situation. I cannot imagine how much harder this could be on them if I cannot be with them so much. This is possible because of our church family. Everything our church family has done has made an impact on people in our lives. My dad, who lives in Tennessee, and also my brother in Las Vegas, cannot believe how much support we still get. He tells others all the time about our church, from Tennessee and Las Vegas to Lacombe, how our church is doing what the Bible says for each other. The result that means the most is the authentic relationships that we have made, and that God has blessed us with being part of a godly church family.
Community is powerful. We need to use it more effectively. We have, in our church, small groups set up. These small groups are a place where you can be connected in fellowship with other believers. It's a place where you can just feel at home to share, to be supported, to be lifted up and encouraged. But I know not everybody's involved in a small group. You don't have to be in a small group to engage in community. Miss Carolyn wasn't in Tedra's small group. The way our small groups are set up now, you know, Titus talks about how the older ladies are supposed to take the younger ladies under their wing. Ladies, I implore you, do that. The men's class, I implore you, take some of these young fathers under your wing. Disciple them. If you have children, and some of those children come to church that maybe don't have parents involved, take them under your wing. Community is not just in your small group. Yes, that's where a lot of it happens. But there's also a bigger part of community that takes place. One final illustration. I wanted to really... I'm a visual learner. Like to see things and how they work. I'm going to ask some members, some guys from my small group that I participate in, to come up here and help me. I thought about this imagery. Actually, the wisest man in history kind of thought of it. See there, Ecclesiastes, you can read the verse on the screen. Trent, would you go? Someone's going to pass this. If y'all could turn around and face the congregation. I think I'm going to pass it. Hmm. pass it back over here. You can pass it. Yeah, here you go. We, as a community, if you can pass it back to Trent, come on, let's get back over here. He's connected to him. And I'll take it back. Okay. No, after you, you grab that.
Okay.
Come on.
I got
it. Oh, okay. We got room for some more. So, if we are connected in a community, and I start to wander off, oh, that looks pretty cool over there. Because of my connections, I am pulled back into the group. When I'm off alone, Satan can pick me off, I'm gone. Okay? This community, this connection that I have with these brothers in Christ, when we meet together every Sunday night, this keeps me going. Okay? If I were to fall down, wisest man in history said, if I were to fall down, I got some other guys ready to pull that rope and lift me up. Do you have that? Are you in a small group? Are you intentionally reaching out across our small group lines to be connected? And obviously, the more points of connection I have in the circle, the greater the strength. So if I only were to drop this with, say, to him, and I just had this, it'd be more pressure on Trent to keep me in. But there's strength in numbers. Thanks, guys. You can just leave it there. Church, if you just close your eyes, just kind of have a time of meditation. I'm going to ask our praise team to go ahead and transition up. Are you experiencing community like you think you should? You know, you can't always wait for someone to throw you the rope. Sometimes you have to be the one to walk up and grab it. You have to say, look, I want in on this, what you have. Let me in. And yes, we should probably do a better job of throwing the rope to some of you people, but it's not always on us. So here's my question, church. How are you going to live differently based on your new understanding of fellowship? It's an act of worship, you know. It brings unity, you know. You may have to reach out and grab it from somebody else. But it should affect almost everything you do. The way you write out a check for the church tithe, that's fellowship. The way you invite someone to your home this afternoon, that's fellowship. I want to help keep you accountable for that. So as we sing in just a minute, a couple of us people will be up here. I want you to think about some things that you can do different. And I want you to come up here and say, hey, Jared White, I need to do this better. That way, I can help hold that rope for you. If you come up and say, you know, I really need to have more people in my home. I really need to have this fellowship. I really need to support others financially better. Next time I see you, I get to ask you how it's doing. Pastor Byron will be here. Jared Berry will be up here. Guys, we're in this together. This is a fellowship.
Thank you for listening to this recording from First Baptist Church in Lacombe, Louisiana. Feel free to make copies of this message to give to others, but please do not charge for these copies without permission. We invite you to visit our church website at www.fbclacombe.org. That's FBCLACOMBE.org. You can find information about our church there, or you can call our church office at 985-882-5682. Thank you for listening.